on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Vanciello.
Cody, to say that this is not the ideal situation, it is definitely a complete understatement. Iowa State loses a game they have no business losing. They lose to Colorado 24-17, and we get the field rushed on us for the second straight week. Cody, I feel like this was just a game of missed opportunities. What do you think?
Yep, that's been the trend the last 2 weeks. Yeah, missed opportunities. I mean, we started from the first drive offensively. I mean, the team was driving well. Abu Salma, I'll say this, I'll get this right out of the way. Abu Salma had his best game at Iowa State since Snowmageddon, his freshman year. This was definitely his best game. Well, 180 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. So if there's the one bright spot that we can talk about for this game, if there's only one I can say, it's definitely Abu Salma. He stepped up in the absence of Carson Hanson. But yeah, I mentioned missed opportunities. The first drive, we had the drive go well. We were, I believe, at we were inside the 30. This is going to be a trend. Penalties. We had a major holding penalty on Ben Bramer, and that killed the drive. Later on, there was a drive where we had 2 procedural penalties in the same drive, and I think that killed any chance for us to get points. And that was just a continued theme. Whether it was penalties, or this one's even worse. This is the one that I was so infuriated about and frustrated about. The drops in the wide receivers.
My goodness, bro.
They continue to frustrate me because I don't get how – there's obviously a lot of blame that people are throwing around. I mean, people are blaming Rocco. People are blaming the coaches. They're blaming the defense. They're blaming everybody. You can't pile it all onto one individual unit. It's just a mix of missed opportunities. But one big one that was sore was the wide receiver drops. And this has been something that this is clearly showing the pain of not having 2 NFL caliber wide receivers like you had with Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll. And obviously those are going to be big shoes to fill.
Right.
And thus far, the wide receivers we have right now haven't been able to do so. And I mean, I didn't expect them to fill it all the way, but you expect more production out of them than what we've been seeing right now. And I don't know if it's nerves or something, if Rocco was off or something, but these wide receivers just cannot bring the football in, even when Rocco puts them in the perfect spot. Now, granted, Rocco has sometimes missed an open ball to a receiver who's in the area, but there are also times where he puts it in the perfect spot for the wide receiver to grab it, and they just drop it. And those plays are huge momentum plays that could be potentially lead to scores. And obviously Iowa State didn't capitalize on it. And I got to tip my cap to Colorado. They were able to connect on those plays when they needed them the most, because I'd say for Colorado, they maybe didn't even, I don't think they played as good of a game as many thought, it may look. I don't think Colorado played their best game of the year because they still had mistakes as well, but they were able to make the plays that mattered. And ultimately they were able to pull a win because they made plays when they mattered.
Yeah, definitely. And friend of the show, Sungbo, he was like, it was a big mental breakdown game. Pure and simple. The boys will be back, team before self. No, he's absolutely right. It is team before self. And if you saw, you know that this team cares. Rocco was basically in tears saying he has to get it together. I mean, look, everybody has to get it together, man. Rock, I know it's not all on you. This is a team loss. Like, everybody, the coaches, the everybody on the team, it's just a whole reset this week. And yeah, like, for me, it's just like the first four drives, untimely penalties. And yeah, I know a lot of people are going to want to blame the defense. The defense did what it could. The defense did what it could, and obviously there are certain situations where there were lapses in coverage, on especially that first touchdown in the second half, and then the third and 17 or whatever to end that basically iced the game. But yeah, I mean, like, I can't really blame the defense on this one. I think this is really more on the offensive side of the football, and I really think just. If it just wasn't a game of missed opportunities, it was just undisciplined football. Because, bro, all the procedural penalties, these are just mental things. And then I think the other one that annoyed me is that unsportsmanlike penalty by Tyler Moore. That, like, after we scored a touchdown, it was so unneeded, and that literally set Colorado up to score on the next drive. Like, I was so, like, aggravated after that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about undisciplined football. This is Iowa State in the last two games. In the loss versus Cincinnati, they had 8 penalties for 60 yards. In the game yesterday against Colorado, they had 7 penalties for 59 yards. So that's, what, 15 penalties in the last two games for this Cyclone team. And this is very uncharacteristic, because we're used to seeing Iowa State not really be this this undisciplined. I mean, you got it back to Arizona, only 1 penalty in that game, only 3 against Arkansas State. In the game against Iowa, I think there was only 1 or 2. Well, they had 5, but this feels like a very uncharacteristic amount of penalties for this Iowa State team, who I'm used to being much more disciplined. And I mean, Matt Campbell talked about it in his post-game presser that they were like undisciplined and terrible when it came to attention to detail. Now, I know a lot of people in the reaction to this game, obviously, they don't want to hear any of that. And it's like, it's all the same thing. The Matt Campbell box is not going to get fixed. But I mean, what else are you supposed to say? Like, what more do you want to say? Do you like want him to go? Do you want to go further on it? Well, I don't know how you would as a coach. You're trying. Yes, poor discipline. You want him to be honest, but at the same time, you don't want to like chuck people under the bus, because
exactly.
then you're going to create a toxic culture, and that's not what you want. That's what Matt Campbell doesn't want. So I think it comes down to that. And just, I mean, the one thing that irked me the most, and is the we mentioned the blame game being all over the place. People are starting to blame strength conditioning, because that's been a trend the last like. A couple of weeks, like the last like few weeks or so, with, like the injury bugs. I saw somebody be like, I saw one comment. It's like, bro, how can you not fucking criticize the strength conditioning for all these injuries that happen? And I said this: strength conditioning can only do so much for you to reduce the risk, but it's not gonna take away any risk. And I mean, in the case of like, and I saw people saying like, stop making excuses. Everybody gets injured. But the problem is with Iowa State, our injuries take place. And probably the worst place to do so when it's your kicker. That loses you points automatically, so that changes exactly. The way you coach. And then you lose 2 starting corners, 2 NFL caliber ones, I'd say. And yeah, you have guys to step up, but there's a reason why you have starters and you have backups. You're not expecting the backups to usually be producing on the same level as your starting corners, and especially when you have 2 NFL caliber corners. The drop-off is going to be there. Yeah, so I just don't get, but.
No, like, Cody, if I could step in for a second, this is the exact situation that we had during the basketball season when people were saying no excuses. And I'm like, when Keyshawn was out. So, like, when you have a player of that type of caliber and you're, like, missing production from that position, because when you said that, it definitely, like, reeled me in. And I was like, you know what? It's true. You're like, it's absolutely facts. Like, I know, like, everybody is like emotional in the moment, but yeah, I mean, the simple fact is we are missing people, players and stuff. And like, we are, you know, like a, a walking wounded team. And obviously, yeah, we got to do what we got to do to move on and try to do it. But that's a lot that we're missing. And it's just, you know, and hopefully, like I said, I put it in my tweets this morning that hopefully that we can get some good news on Kyle Kuvarde, because I feel like that would be a huge thing for this team to lift them back up. And then I just saw a few things from some of our fans. Sunglow, thank you for watching. So he said, everyone has a day where we walk in the fog. It looked like they were still in that. Abu was way better than what I thought he'd be. Kudos to him. And yes, more knew better. So yeah, I think the frustrating thing is that, like, with these types of things, is that a lot of this stuff is fixable. Obviously, and I think the frustrating thing is, like, you know, we haven't seen it. And I will say, to me, I think that this is something that is just gonna have to be, like, coached out of people. Because at least, like, I don't think it's as okay, for you, when we were in this position last year, like, were you more of a hopeless spot than you are now? Because I know a lot of people think that now, or that, like, basically that we could lose, like, every game from here on out. I don't think that we're that, like, not talented to not. I don't think we're gonna lose out. Like, I think that's just people overreacting. Also, like, you got to see, but, like, you know, from the stuff you've seen, it's not, like, really, it's sort of, like, not hard for people to think that way. But, like, I have a feeling, like, this team is going to be able to turn around. And I was, because last year we were decimated by that and stopping the run. Like, we were stopping, like, you know, we've been pretty good against the run this year so far. Last year, it was just, like, after that Kansas game, it was just, like, where everybody's, like, mindset would. It reminds me of this year. So, like, at least where are you sitting at mentally, Cody, in terms from, rather than, like, at least from like, this year at this point from last year? Because I feel like this could be, like, our Kansas game from last year.
I think, yeah, there's a mirror, obviously, with Kansas last year. And obviously, I think for sure, the expectation, and this is something that's going to be big, the expectation has to shift. Because, like, I think with the way the Big 12 is shaping out, I mean, you got lucky last year with the tiebreakers working on your favor. This year doesn't seem to be the case, because you got a lot of teams still ahead of you. You got the likes of Texas Tech, BYU, Utah, Cincinnati, Arizona State ahead of you. So I think you have to shift those expectations. Mentally speaking, for me, I think just looking at the whole picture as a whole, I saw, like, it's hard to explain, but I mean, just the way I look at it is, like, okay, you hit the spot last year. Do you have the same mental toughness as you did last year? Because, I've seen people saying that this team isn't mentally tough enough, but just, and yeah, there's an understanding of that, because the way what they showed in the game yesterday and last week against Cincinnati, maybe this isn't the same mentally tough team. But I mean, this bye week comes at a perfect time. I think it's, like, it's time to go back to that in some way, shape, or form. It's time to relearn those things. And usually, like, with the track record that this team has and last, I think there's a precedent for that. And I think there's a cautious optimism I have with being able to get back into form. There's a cautious optimism, because the schedule for you as Iowa State, it's going to get tough, because, I mean, you have number 50. I mean, your upcoming schedule is not looking pretty, but it's still attainable. You just have to find a way to navigate this rough patch. And if last year showed, I mean, Rocco knows for sure. Like, he knows what it's like. So he did say he wants to be a better leader. And I think he's just got to show that. And I think he can show that.
Yeah, so you know what? I'll push back on what you said about the mental toughness thing. I do think that this team is mentally tough enough. I just think that in these last two games, we've had way too many mental lapses. Because I will say, it took mental toughness for us to beat K-State and for us to beat Iowa in both those games. Because those are definitely emotionally grueling games. I just think that we've had way too many mental lapses and too many mistakes. And like we said in this segment, it's called undisciplined football. Like, it's we've seen way too much of it. It's been way too lax. Like you said, like Campbell said, way too lax. And he, like, obviously he said that he's been, you know, letting that happen. So I'm excited to see how this team comes out of the bye week. And then there's a few more things I want to talk about before we head and look at the Big 12 slate, but we have a few more topics. Next one, we're going to talk about this offense being out of sync. I don't know if you know, the running game has been, like, all right. And, like, I really like what I saw from Dylan Lee yesterday with how he ran. I like what I saw from Abu. But, man, I feel like this passing game has been so inconsistent. Like, I don't know, and I don't know, like, what you can really do to fix it. I don't know. What do you think about this? Because this is really, really something that I thought that this offense would be at least in sync passing wise.
Yeah. I mean, a lot. I think it just comes down to possibly the health of Rocco, because obviously we saw that the big hit he took at Cincy and he hasn't been looked the same. So I wonder if part of the offense being out of sync is Rocco, like, taking that big hit. Maybe he's not playing, like, the same. Those passes aren't, like, connecting the same way they would. And also the situations that the offense finds themselves in because they're out of sync. I mean, I saw those third down situations that we tend to find ourselves in. We keep finding ourselves in those long third down situations. And I think part of that plays into us being out of sync is because we have to do certain things because we aren't in, like, the best of situations. So it's just a lot of things that go together. So possibly the health of Rocco plays a factor into it. And it's really difficult to say from what I've seen, because a lot of moving pieces go together. But I mean, I know Rocco still trusts the wide receivers and the tight ends to make catches, but it's just the situations that they continue to find themselves in on second and third downs when plays don't work. So, and I think part of that also goes to those procedural penalties, those false starts and holdings. That gets them out of sync, and it forces the playbook to be limited a bit because of those penalties. So, yeah, it's just the penalties going hand in hand with getting into third and long situations that forces the team to do stuff they don't want to do. And also the play calling to an extent, because there are certain situations that you usually don't expect to be running a certain place, but they do. I mean, if we want to talk about that play calling as a factor, it's the inconsistency of, like, going for it on fourth down, because they went for it on fourth down and about a yard and a half inside their own 20, but then they proceed to punt the ball on fourth down after being in a third and long situation and making a really good play call. And I think that was infuriating, is also the play calling, because I don't know what's going on the last 2 weeks, but the play calling has just been putrid from Taylor Mills and company.
I don't even know what, like, it's called, like, that trying to, like, QB sneaking on the nine. I was wondering, I'm like, this is where we should be punting, because I have a feeling the defense would have gotten us a stop on that drive. And then, I mean, luckily we only held them to a field goal, because that could have been game, set, match if they would have scored a touchdown there. But, like, I'm like, man, I'm like, what are we doing? And then, obviously, like you're saying the offense is out of sync. That one drive where before the interception, or no, it was the one where we QB sneaked on that, where Gabe Burkle was in stride on that one, and he could have gotten the first down, and he was looking downfield, and they dropped it, and that just got us. It's just getting in those situations right there, to where if you would have gotten that. That's it. In that situation, that plays that can keep the drive alive. I saw that way too many times, where we dropped crucial balls, like, that were in stride, and that just, like, just ruined the sync of the offense. And going up tempo, that sort of ruins the up tempo when you, like, drop a ball like that, or balls that should be, like, you know, be caught in those type of situations when you're trying to go up tempo.
Yeah. it's ironic that our one of our sponsors or whatever, like whatever cycles have, like we have All Saints Insurance, obviously, like as like a presenting sponsor whenever we take PATs. We do not have good hands right now. I've seen the joke of like, I wonder, I swear, our guys had to have been covering their hands in Vaseline that day, or they might have like, gotten caught in the Colorado weed, because I don't know what those guys were. They just cannot bring in a football to save their lives, and it just kept building frustration. And I think part of the off like Malzahn's like and the frustration of play calling is just because these plays aren't working because we're not executing them. So it's
I think it's really, that's the thing, is that these plays like definitely work. It's just that the frustrating thing is that we're just not executing. That's really the key, is that it's just not that we're not executing the plays. We just have to go out there and do it. That's the thing, is just going out there and doing it. That's the thing, Cody. We got to go out there and do it. Like, I'm like, that's how I'm saying. Like, I'm really, really curious to see, you know, obviously, because you know they're gonna put Kingston and stuff during the bye week, get some much needed rest. Mm-hmm. Carson Brown is back, so I'm excited to see what these wide receiver sets are gonna be like when we go get back on the field at BYU.
Speaking of BYU, I put this tweet out saying I slept in the and I woke up and I tweeted this in the morning, said, we are still in decent shape to win out. Seeing BYU get tested by Arizona, and they're up. So I basically made it talking about the rest of our schedule. BYU, they're not just hosting the Holy War. That game's going to be the big new kickoff game. And they just like had a really tight game against Arizona. So there are some flaws there with them. And then seeing what BYU does in the Holy War, we'll see how that turns out. I also mentioned that ASU will depend on Sam Levitt's health, because who knows? Because Arizona State's not the same team without Sam Levitt, as we saw. And then I said, if Kansas State beat TCU, so can we. So I'm saying, like, if they can beat them, then we have a chance. And then KU and Oklahoma State are to be determined. And I had somebody mention, we are not going to win another game besides maybe Okie State. We suck, dude. I had somebody tweet that. I'm like, reading that. I just wrote that now. I'm like,
yep. We got to get out of our, we got to get out of our feelings, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like, I understand we're all frustrated and stuff, but like, we gotta. It took me until like a few hours after. I'm like, you know what? You know, we gotta. It usually takes me like a bit to, or not that long to get over losses, like a few hours after the game. But like,
yeah,
I was still dwelling on it up until today, and I'm like, you know what? We got a while to think about this. There's tons of stuff that this team, or you know, this coaching staff and this team can get to be better, and I'm excited to see what this coaching staff can do. Just one more topic that we're gonna close to end this game. So one of the things that like we talked about this year and this season is that we do not want this to be a repeat of 2021. The only pushback that I'll have about this season being 2021 is that I will say is that in 2021 a lot of the one score games went the other way, and a lot of the stuff that we lost in these two games, a lot of the stuff that we have been going through in the 2 days have been like, yes, like in 2021 we have a lot of self-inflicted stuff. And like we lost two games because of it, but like I feel like this team is more well equipped and more mentally tough to overcome that. So like I guess with you, Cody, do you see this season being like 2021?
Yeah. I mean, having lived through that, obviously, and like it's hard for me to like say no, and maybe that's just me because I'm reading so much, like maybe I'm just too much like reading into it and like already thinking about the worst, and like it's easy to do that when you lose, and I think the team does that too, but we were kind of saying, but if that was the case, it would take a total class the entire rest of the season, and I think this team simply cannot, like they know they cannot do that. Because I know those are probably like past ghosts that they do not want to ever have to deal with again. And obviously, I think this bye week comes at a perfect time for them. So I'm going to say no. I need to see more of like the season because with the timeline, I'm assuming Conradi should be back for BYU from what I'm understanding.
Right.
If he's back around the time we get to BYU, we should be, you know, okay, so because I think Conradi, a lot of like the things that we get ourselves into is the kicking situation. Like, and I don't want to use that as an excuse, but
it's true, man. It's not an excuse.
Because if you're down, like, I don't know if there's been another team that got in all places to get injured. You have both of your main kickers injured before you even got to main conference play. Both of them got injured. And then you have even your third string was dealing something with his hamstring. So we sent out on kickoff a four-string offensive lineman as a kicker. And that was – and his kickoff was in addition to the 15-yard penalty we got because of Tyler Moore's unsportsmanlike conduct. And, I mean, that still was a decent boot. But it's just a lot of those errors that can be that should be fixed, and they can be.
Right, exactly. And I also think that, like – one thing I'll push back on is that this makes, and I'm not like making issues or anything, but like this season is a lot more bearable at 5-2, mainly because we have already beaten K-State and we've beaten Iowa. And the thing is, in 2021, like with all the stuff coming into that Iowa game, we played horrible in the UNI game and barely won that. And then, like, with all the stuff with wearing the black jerseys against Iowa and with all this expectation and all of that being on, like, Brock and everybody, and they like, just felt the pressure, and Iowa just ate all that up. And, you know, we ended up, like, being hyped for that game but didn't end up showing up. So I don't think that this – unless – we're absolutely wrong, and like this team is not who we thought they were. Yeah, I don't see a collapse like 2021, like, because we would have to like go what? Because we gotta have to go 2-3 to get to 7-5, and I think we're gonna win like at least four more games this season. Yeah. So like, I think we should chill out on that talk. I think like obviously with two losses in a row and playing undisciplined football, obviously that thought is going to come up, but I think that this team is better than this. And hey, maybe I'm just blowing sunshine, and you may think that we're bozos, but hey, you know what? I don't care. I believe in this team, and I think that they're going to turn it around.
Yeah, I mean, you've got two games at home, and you know your home fans. They may not be it, but I think this. I'm hoping this fuels. I think the way – I mean, you get the bye week, like I said, at the perfect time because you get to take a look at BYU as they host the Holy War, but you also get a look at Arizona State. And you keep seeing what Sam Levitt's health look like. But Arizona State, they got to deal with Texas Tech, and obviously Texas Tech is, without a doubt, the best team in the Big 12. And
yes, I think they are.
I mean, if we set a clear tier list of the Big 12 or fast, I would throw in Texas Tech, Utah. Yep. I think Texas Tech is clear number one. They're on their own tier. Below them would be BYU, Cincinnati, Utah, and Arizona State.
Yes, that would be my order. Yeah.
And then the next tier would be like Houston, Baylor, Kansas, us, I'd say. And between Kansas State and Arizona – I feel like I might throw in Arizona.
I'd throw in Arizona. Arizona is actually pretty solid.
Yeah.
If they made a few more plays yesterday, they probably would have won that game. So
yeah.
Plus, I mean, let's not forget that they had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. So
yeah. So I mean, this is the perfect time for us to rest up and really. And you got two home games, so you want to be back in front of your home crowd because it's going to be what, the first time in a month? Because we had the one home against Arizona, and then you had two road games against a team that isn't necessarily great. They just made more plays. And then Cincinnati has proven to be a real juggernaut. Cincinnati is the real deal.
And then
Caden Salter is actually, like, he's growing in confidence. So you deal with a Caden Salter that is growing in confidence, and you combine that with your own shooting yourselves in the foot continuously. So I think it's just those shooting yourselves in the foot moments that just frustrate you as a whole. But those are things that can and need to be ironed out, and I can trust the staff to do so. Others may not trust them. They may like, and I'm seeing the criticism of like the coaching staff, and I think there is some understandable criticism, but you know people want to be right about things. Just this is the kind of world we live in, and this is like not even a coaching like related thing. This is just a whole like sports media thing. People want to be proven right all the time, and they're going to stick by something until they're proven right, and we're seeing it in real time, and they want to let you know that they were right the whole time.
It's just
a sick obsession, and I can form my own opinions without you needing to like be up in my face saying, "See, I told you so." It's like it's an unhealthy thing to live in.
Yeah, I was like, "Are you doing this because you want to be right, or are you doing this because you want the team to do well?" Because I feel like people would be wanting to stick on their narratives because, like, "See, I told you I was right," and then you just make yourself end up looking like a complete idiot. But yeah, man, we are gonna just put that in the game in the rearview mirror, and hey, we got to move on just like the football team is. So we are going to take a look at the conference schedule yesterday. We're going to start with probably the game of the day, BYU and Arizona. BYU survives in overtime and double overtime as BYU wins 33-27.
Yeah. Bear Bachmeyer is legitimate. I think this is an even better team than what they had last year, because I think Bear Bachmeyer is making the plays that Jake Retzlaff wouldn't. Because, yeah, even how good Jake Retzlaff was a quarterback, there were certain plays he couldn't make, and Bear Bachmeyer showing clearly be that guy. So they're off to another 6-0 start, 3-0 in the conference, tied for first. And, yeah, huge plays, I think, on the ground for Bear Bachmeyer as well. Because I felt like anytime he got the football and he was on the ground running, he could get certain things. I mean, he had 22 carries for 89 yards and 2 touchdowns, which is behind LJ Martin's 162 yards and 1 touchdown. But yeah, the dual threat ability of Bear Bachmeyer, even though he had 1 or 2 interceptions passing, he only had 172 yards, he made plays work on the ground. And that kind of quarterback is dangerous. And he's only a freshman, too. I mean, people are going to talk about it all the time. But yeah, the fact he's a freshman doing this is great, great news for BYU. So, and Arizona, they came out to play. They had North Vita had 219 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. And the rushing game for Arizona had 165 yards and 1 touchdown. So they're going blow for blow with BYU. BYU was just able to make plays down the stretch. They were able to come back down 10 with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. But yeah, this is a great show, a great toughness for BYU. This sets them up really well for what's going to be an emotional game in the Holy War. And the fact that they're hosting it, I think this game is going to this Holy War game is going to be a crucial one in the race for the Big 12.
Oh, it sure is. And it's going to be a separator of who's there and who's a fake. So we'll talk about who their opponent, Utah. Utah gets a huge win against the Sun Devils. Sam Levittless, Arizona State at that, 42-10. But Devin Dampier just continues. He went 120 yards. And Jeff Sims is the passing leader with 124 yards. But Utah just ran the hell out of the ball. That's what they do. And they just bludgeoned ASU to death.
Yeah, it's clear that Arizona State is not the same team without Sam Levitt. And it showed. Jeff Sims, by no means, like, is on the level of Sam Levitt. And I think if Sam Levitt was playing in this game would be a lot closer than the scoreboard shows. But, right. But it just shows that Utah can dominate you physically. Yeah, we mentioned their rushing numbers. That comes down to physicality on the offensive line. And it clearly showed that Utah is the much better team in the trenches. The Texas Tech game feels like an outlier. And maybe that's just because Texas Tech's defensive line is just that good. So, we come back to that Texas Tech Utah game. That game's just showed that early conference game just showed how good Texas Tech was. That said more about Texas Tech than it did Utah. And Utah up to this point has done a great job at responding to that loss against Texas Tech, bludgeoning West Virginia 48-14 and bludgeoning Arizona State 42-10. So if Utah is the team, like Utah, as much as I hated them when they first came in, they are kind of good. If they're good, then they're good for the Big 12 because Utah.
It is, yeah.
It's probably one of the biggest nationally known brands in the Big 12. So So if they're good, that's good for the Big 12. And as much as I hated that, that's just true.
It is, yeah. Them getting back to what they were in the Pac-12, just running roughshod over those finesse teams that were in the Pac-12. Yeah, man, it's definitely something that we need.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see the health of Sam Leavitt, because if this continues for Arizona State, then the matchup that I thought was going to be a really good one on November 1st heading into the season, it may not be the same just because of just checking on the status of Sam Leavitt.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I kind of wish, like, you know, the whole trend of like teams suddenly, like when injured players suddenly return against Iowa State, then they ball out. I kind of do. Part of me doesn't want that, but at the same time, I do want that because I wanted to go up against a really good Arizona State team, because Sam Leavitt was a part of the team that absolutely killed Iowa State in Arlington. So I want to get a measure of revenge. And if it's against Sam Leavitt, then yeah, there's no asterisk to it whatsoever. So you could put an asterisk definitely on this Arizona State team right now until Sam Leavitt returns.
Yes, definitely. I don't think that's definitely this game yesterday was an exact representation of what Arizona State is. But with that, let's go into this Texas Tech game. Cameron Dickey, with the player of the game, 263 rushing yards as Texas Tech puts B to A over KU 42-17.
Yeah, this game, I think it's going to be a trend in the Big 12. The score, it doesn't necessarily indicate how the game went. Texas Tech, right. I mean, they went up 21-0 early. Kansas did put up 17 points in the second quarter to make it a competitive game head into halftime, but the Texas Tech just runs away with it again. But that's not even the main story of this game, and I wish it wasn't the case. But this, like, the main story coming out of this was in the post-game handshake line, Lance Leipold was complaining to Joey McGuire about people throwing stuff on in the field. Obviously, we know with Texas Tech, throwing the tortillas on the field, that's a thing, and that's a given. And it is in the Big 12, like, officiating rule book to give them a warning, because they know that. That's tradition. That's fine. But apparently, from what Lance Leipold said, people were throwing batteries. Somebody even threw a pocket knife onto the field. And Lance Leipold kind of made a big storm about it. So I want to get your take on, like, the whole, like, obviously throwing, like, the whole tortilla throwing tradition. What is even your thought on that? I don't know why we're even talking about this, but here we are.
I mean, I like it. It's something unique that makes it unique to a fan base. So I don't really have a problem with it, especially if that's Texas, since that's Texas Tech's tradition of throwing tortillas onto the field. Now, I do have a feeling like of throwing, like, now, yes, once it gets to throwing batteries and maybe a pocket knife, like, I just, the pocket knife thing is sort of hard to believe. Not saying that he's lying, but I was just like, that. Now that's very, very, that could be very, very dangerous, especially like if that thing is open, it could cut somebody. Like,
yeah.
Now that's insane.
Yeah. Lance Leipold basically tell him, like, Joey McGuire, take care of like this. But my question to that is, what is Joey McGuire going to do? Is he going to go up to every single person in the stands, tell him we're only throwing one tortilla? Like, the whole game, you only get one tortilla to throw, and that's it. But you think he's going to be able to do that? No.
No.
Joey McGuire cannot control all this, all, like, whatever the capacity of, what was it, Jones AT&T Stadium?
Right.
You're like, oh, I got to look at this. The capacity of that being 60,000. Yeah. What is Joey McGuire going to do up to 60, go up to every, all the 60,000 plus people, tell him we only get one tortilla to throw? Like, if it was only the tortillas and Lance Leipold just wind up a storm, then come on, dude. But, I mean, if it was actually, like, that pocket knife, fine. There, I mean, there's a rule in place, obviously, throwing things on the field gets the team, like, be offended, like, or whatever, 15-yard penalty. And we saw that multiple times in the Texas Tech game because people were throwing stuff in the third and fourth quarter. Now, this game wasn't close, so it really didn't have an effect on the outcome. But if there was a tighter game and you had those 15-yard penalties, those could be, like, game-changing.
Right. No, you're exactly right. All right, let's move on to Cincinnati and UCF. This was a weird game. Cincinnati holds on and beats UCF 20-11.
Honestly, yeah. I think Cincinnati in this game, they played a C game, and they were still able to win convincingly. UCF or Central Florida, they got that touchdown late in the fourth quarter when it basically didn't really matter. So Cincinnati just did whatever they wanted to. Yeah, the score from Central Florida came at like the under at like the 2 minute timeout or whatever for them. So yeah, that score really didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Cincinnati just dominated start to finish, and yeah, not even playing their best game.
Yeah, because I know Scott Satterfield was not happy with how they played. So definitely a lot for Cincinnati to improve on. But yeah, man. Cincinnati is a legit player, and I just looked at the standings. I believe they are now in first place, tied with BYU for the lead in the Big 12 right now.
Hey, and Texas Tech. It's a three-way tie at the top.
Do they play Texas Tech this year?
Cincinnati?
Yeah.
They do not. They do not play Cincinnati. Cincinnati and Texas Tech don't play each other, but Cincinnati does have to play Utah and BYU.
Okay. Okay.
And then I think for Tech, you mentioned Arizona State. They got to play BYU. So BYU, between those three, is going to be the one that, like, I think that's going to be the most like probable one that could change things. Because if BYU wins both of those games, then they're going to have the no doubter, and then it's just going to kind of tiebreakers. But if either Texas Tech or Cincinnati beats BYU, then you can have tiebreakers, and they probably, like, and maybe they possibly both get in. But, like, that's just a thing for tiebreakers. We're heading to another situation, and even though I was just not involved in it this year, we are getting the chaos of tiebreakers, and I'm here for it.
Hey, who knows, man? If it like look, I will never say it's over until it is. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We could go on a run and be 9-2 and still have a mathematical way to get in. Like last year, we weren't sure if we needed to be K-State, and then we needed BYU, all of that. We weren't sure that we needed it, but hey, anything can happen. Yeah. As you know, I'm the eternal sunshine pumper.
At the end of the day, it's all about taking care of your business.
Yeah.
Control. And the rest will fall in play for you.
Yes, and this is and this next game, man, isn't it amazing what you could do when you basically let Avery Johnson lose? Kansas State wins 41-28. Their offense has looked absolutely amazing ever since they just literally let Avery Johnson loose. And I sort of wonder what their season would have looked like if they would have let him play like this from the start.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Kansas, yeah. This game, like, yeah, it certainly was a much better game. It's about time they let him lose, yeah. And I think this one would – oh, man, if they had played like this sooner – our win against Kansas State would have aged so much better, but no,
they had to
F around the entire like non-con schedule, nearly losing to North Dakota, losing to Army. That pisses me off, and that's why I probably hate them even more. It's like, come on, boys, you are so much better than this. What are you doing? Just let Avery Johnson be Avery Johnson. Don't try to force him into something he's not. And when he did try that, look, it didn't work. And now look what happens when you let him play the way he can, like, you know, he can play in the way his play style works. Boom.
Well, look at their schedule. These next few games, they could throw a wrench in the – really throw a wrench into things. They're at Kansas for the Sunflower Showdown, and they play Texas Tech after that. I mean, you want to talk about – putting a conference into a frenzy. We were talking about Kansas State possibly being a chaos team. Imagine if they take down Texas Tech. Obviously, I don't think that would happen. But who knows, bro? You never know, man, with this crazy conference in the Big 12. But, geez.
I mean, the thing with that is Kansas State hosts Texas Tech. So that's in their home. That's in Manhattan. So that gives a slight boost to Kansas State's chances. I don't know if it'll happen, but you do have the home crowd, so who knows? Things can get wild. And we mentioned the chaos team. They're playing last year's chaos team in Kansas in the Sunflower State Showdown. How about that? How poetic would that be? The two teams that caused the most chaos in the last 2 years are both from the state of Kansas.
Yeah, I so. At the beginning of the year, I thought for sure that the streak was going to end. Unfortunately, I think Kansas State is going to win and win by a lot next week, unfortunately.
And speaking of this game, TCU, what is going on with them? Because I think a lot of people thought TCU was going to be a legit contender in the Big 12, and they have not looked great. Josh Hoover, he did have 376 passing yards, but he also threw two interceptions, which ultimately – and also I think he got strip sack for a one of the interceptions Josh Hoover threw was a pick six. And then there were two defensive touchdowns for Kansas State, and I think the other one might have been a scoop and score.
It's untimely turnovers playing undisciplined football, and then their defense, like we said, is a liability. So it's exactly what we talked about something that we were worried about with this TCU team, about their defense, not having a defense. And now they're just sitting here, I'm maybe thinking what could have been. But hey, they have the next week, they have the rivalry against Baylor. So let's see if they can get it together. I believe Baylor was on a bye week this week.
Let me just take a look at that. They were on the bye after beating Kansas State. So they were on the bye this week.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that was the entirety of the Big 12. And the Big 12, Iowa State was one of those teams that, like, it was ranked last. I mean, they dropped out of the AP poll, which I'm not surprised about. But nationally, we got some juiciness to talk about. I want to talk about this national slate, dude. Oh, the juice in this one. Oh, man. We're going to start with the big game in the American. You had number 24, South Florida. I'm going to start on Friday, if you don't mind.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. Let me go up there. Sorry.
Yeah.
So my goodness. Good Lord.
South Florida just absolutely dominates North Texas in the second half, and they went 63-36. The thing was, for North Texas, this was their first ever sellout for their stadium. So there was a lot of hype going into this from the mean green of North Texas. And South Florida in the second half, they just shut that down. Byron Brown with 245 yards passing and three touchdowns on the day, as their rushing game contributed 300 rushing yards and four touchdowns. So this was a competitive game in the first half. It was tied up at that 21 apiece, and then South Florida just ran away with it in the second. So it is clear that South Florida is legitimately a contender in the American, and they are keeping pace with the likes of Memphis, Navy, and Tulane for that college football playoff spot as the G6 representative.
I mean, the fact that they went off for 28 points in the third quarter, dude. I was watching that game. I'm like, wait a minute. They scored again? They scored again? I was like, my goodness. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah. So, if that doesn't say something about Alex Golish and what the Bulls got going on in Tampa, I don't know what else to say. So, looking
– Alex Golish is going to be a hot name, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's going to be hot name for sure in the coaching tree. But before we talk about anything coaching related, number one, Ohio State, they go into Champaign, Illinois, and they take care of number 17, Illinois, 34-16. This was the big noon game. And Ohio State just held Illinois in check, really didn't allow too much. And they showed that. I think this was the first legitimate game that you can say Ohio State is a legitimate team, and they played a legitimate contender in there on the road, and they took care of business. So can't really knock Ohio State for not really playing anybody.
We got to talk about this defense, though. This defense has been a revelation, dude. They are suffocating team. Like, it's absolutely insane how solid and good this defense is. I am at a loss for words. Like, it's been a minute since I've seen a college defense shut teams down like this. Mm-hmm. Like, probably, and this is probably the best one I've seen since 2011 Alabama.
Mm.
Boy, that defense wasn't. Now, you want to talk about that defense? That was insane. But yeah, just a dominant effort on the road. And yeah, now like with OSU going on their schedule, I'm interested to see, you know, where I think, because obviously I think they go unblemished until that the game that they haven't won in 4 years against Michigan. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a game at the end of the year that's going to have some Big Ten implications. But this is the result of the day right here. Man, Kirk Cignetti does it again, man. Indiana, the Hoosiers, bro. Indiana is a freaking wagon. They go up to Autzen, and Indiana wins 30-20, puts up 10 points in the third quarter. Kirk Cignetti was talking his stuff after the game. Bro, Indiana, if they're not in the top five, like, or at least in the top three, then the AP poll is just wrong, man. Yeah, this team is just so good.
Speaking on their positioning in the AP poll, I mean, we know the AP poll is not great, but they just snatched Oregon's ranking. So not only did Indiana go in and snatch the win from Oregon and Austin Stadium, they snatched their ranking. They're up to number three. They're behind Miami and Ohio State, but Kurt Cignetti is for real. Like, and this, I mean, the surge of Indiana football. Anybody have this on their bingo card?
No, in life, dude,
Indiana at this point in their life?
Dude, I like, obviously, friend of the show and my best friend, Eric, like, he has family that went to Indiana. I am in awe because, growing up, Indiana has always been a doormat. But now that they have, because they have the alumni that have the money, they have a business school. And they said a well-renowned business school, mm-hmm. like Mark Cuban went there. So yeah. They have the money to put up. They're like, oh, we can finally give money to this program. And if you know anything about Indiana is a basketball state through and through. Yeah. But the fact that now that Indiana is a football school and is now tied with Ohio State for first place in the Big Ten, I'm at a loss for words. Like, this Indiana story is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. And hey, maybe the success of football can lead to the resurgence of Indiana basketball, because that football money is going to be lucrative. And that means you can sign a lot more talent and come to Indiana, because Indiana, obviously, they have the history. They've got the notoriety in their history. So they can use that, and then they can use the present leverage of being a successful football school and all the money they can bring in. And in this kind of world of pay to win, essentially, you can just throw bags at people and use the mix of having that deep pockets and the notoriety of Indiana basketball and it being a basketball state. So who knows? Maybe Indiana basketball can be revived with this influx of money coming from the football program. So those two can definitely come into it. And I wouldn't be surprised within the next 10 years, Indiana basketball is back to being a notable powerhouse in college basketball.
Nah, I completely got it. I feel like it's only a matter of time before they're back on top. A few of the other notables, Texas rebounds and wins in a defensive effort 23-6 over OU in Dallas.
Yeah. The return of John Mateer to Oklahoma definitely did not go well. And I think this is the second year in a row in the Red River Shootout that Oklahoma has not scored a touchdown, which is crazy to imagine.
Yeah. It's been two years since they scored a touchdown.
Yep. Alabama, they survive a road trip to Como and take down the Missouri Tigers to hand them their first loss of the season and snap Missouri's 15-game winning streak at home. Georgia and LSU each win 20-10 games in defensive struggles. Tennessee holds off Arkansas 34-31 against in Neyland. Georgia Tech gets a 35-20 win, so they're showing that they are a clear contender in the ACC, trying to keep pace with Miami. USC gets the upset win over number 15 Michigan in convincing fashion. Jordan Mayava threw for 265 yards, two touchdowns, as the Southern California Trojans win 31-13. Notre Dame stomps NC State. And number 25, Florida State. They are winless in conference play for, again, it's been over a year since Florida State last won an ACC conference game. And yeah, so we thought Florida State was back. Not so fast, my friend, as the so legend Lee Corso would say. Yeah. So
Florida State legend Lee Corso. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So, and, yeah. And not to mention USC and Notre Dame played next week. So yeah, that's gonna be cinema. I cannot wait for that game. The bye week has tons of good matchups. Let's take a look at next week real quick. We got a bye week. Yeah. We got time. Let's look at
some of the matchups next week. Yeah, for sure. Friday, October 17th, number 2 Miami hosts Louisville, 6 o'clock.
Ooh. On ESPN.
And then on Fox on Friday at 7 p.m., number 25, Nebraska travels to Minnesota to take on the Golden Gophers.
Well, let's look at the – man, but look at the 11 o'clock slate, dude.
On Saturday. We have
LSU going on the road to Nashville to play Vanderbilt in a ranked versus ranked matchup. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the season? We have Georgia, the top two leaders in the ACC, Georgia Tech going on the road to Duke. That is going to be a game. Yeah. We have Arizona facing off against Houston. Both teams are better than what we thought. Houston can get the bowl eligibility with a win on Saturday. We have the rivalry at 11, Army versus Tulane. Tulane trying to stay in the race. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and then you have Oklahoma going on the road to South Carolina. We'll see if they have put up a better showing, but Williams-Bryce is going to be tough. And then you see Purdue and Northwestern. Northwestern, after having a huge win against Penn State.
We're going to talk about Penn State later because I think that's going to be its own thing. I think I want to just go in on Penn State. That's going to be its own thing. We'll get to them later. But
having a chance to win to 5-2. Like,
who would have thought? Northwestern being decent at football? Not on my bingo card this year. So the 2:30 window, number 1 Ohio State travels to Camp Randall to take on the lowly Wisconsin Badgers.
They lost 37-0 to Iowa.
Iowa, okay, remember we mentioned the over-under that game was 37.5? Iowa almost achieved that on their own.
Iowa almost covered the spread.
On their own. What?
Holy crap.
Things are going so bad in Madison, Wisconsin. I don't know why. Oh, man. The coaching carousel, I think that's got to be something we got to start talking about. We're getting to that point in the year. But we'll get to that. But also in the 2:30 window, number 5 Ole Miss travels to number 9 Georgia. This is going to be, a huge top 10 matchup in the SEC. Ole Miss coming off surviving Washington State, surprisingly. I don't know how that happened, but they got the win. They're undefeated, but very surprising. We'll see how that shaky performance will be changed when you travel to Sanford Stadium. Let's also take a look around.
Hold on. Undefeated UNLV goes on the road to Boise State. UNLV is one of those teams that is trying to get that group of five invitation to the playoff, and they are rolling with Dan Mullen right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can also maybe throw in James Madison. They're 5-1, 3-0 in the Sun Belt. So maybe James Madison can, if they win convincingly against Old Dominion, then they can start boosting up their resume a little bit for that G6 spot.
And Old Dominion is also in the running for that, too, because Old Dominion is pretty good as well.
Okay. Yeah, so you got that. What we got?
Texas Tech going on the road to Tempe to play Arizona State.
Yep, that'll be interesting to watch. We'll have to see if Sam Lovett's back for that game. Maybe Bear Moore too. We'll just have to see how the quarterbacks shape up. But I mean, Will Hammond's really good. He's so good as a backup. Yeah, it's like they don't miss a step. And then the 6 o'clock window.
Garbage. Garbage.
Oh man. We're just gonna skip over that because Penn State plays football, Iowa plays football, and they happen to play each other. So, that's all I need to say.
Iowa's going to kill them.
anyways, 6:30, Tennessee takes on Alabama. The third Saturday in October is here, and it's prime time. I am here seated, even though like we all hate the SEC. I'm just gonna be seated for it.
No, I'm not gonna cap, bro. There's the SEC has had so much good football. So I'm gonna watch it. If good football's on, I'm gonna watch it. And at the same time, on NBC and Peacock, we have USC going to South Bend to play Notre Dame. This is a game where I've wanted it to have juice and have meaning because when they were both in their heyday, Notre Dame USC. I think the most memorable game in that was the 2005, the Bush push game.
Oh, man. I heard about that. I mean, great. I was only two, but I did hear about that as I grew up a little older and more about college football. I've heard about the infamous Bush push. You ask other families how they think about it. Notre Dame will tell you they were really pissed about it. You ask a USC fan about it. Oh, yeah. That they would be jubilant to ask you, to tell you. But we get to 7 o'clock. Dude, the Holy War. Primetime Boston, baby.
That is good. I cannot wait for that one.
This is gonna be a perfect day to be seated down. It's a perfect day to be to have a bye week here at Iowa State. Not only for the team to get refreshed and refocused, but also to just sit on your couch and watch what's gonna be really good football. But can't say the same about Penn State, Iowa, and boy oh boy, this is what we just alluded to a little bit. Penn State. They fired James Franklin. I can't believe they actually pulled the trigger. They actually did it. Dude, yeah. When I saw that news break, I was like, oh my God. They actually did it. They pulled it off. I didn't think they'd actually. I mean, it was trending in that direction, but I didn't expect them to do it this early.
Well, it's absolutely insane. I didn't think they would do it. I didn't think they had the heart to do it. I figured that they were like, well, he got us to the playoff semifinals. Semifinal, and I guess. Yeah. I guess it wasn't good enough. So, Iowa State fans, be prepared for the Matt Campbell to Penn State rumors because it's going to be hot and ready.
You know what's crazy? Even with us, even with Matt Campbell losing two straight games, somehow he's like, we made the joke that like Matt Campbell lost those games so he wouldn't be mentioned in those rumors. He still is. On3 ESPN has reported that there's expressed interest in bringing Matt Campbell. And it makes a joke of, take a drink for every time Matt Campbell's name is brought up in a new coaching hire. Well, I guess that with James Franklin being brought up, I already finished this. So I'm going to have another one after the show. But, yeah, this is going to be hilarious. And I low-key want to go in person to watch this. Absolute ass.
Yeah.
But if tickets were as low as 57, oh, my God. Wait, hold on. Let me check my bank account. I may have gone broke just buying a bunch of liquor to deal with the last 2 weeks. But, if I have enough money in the bank, I might honestly go get a student ticket to watch this spectacle.
In Iowa City?
Yep.
I would.
This is gonna be so ass. And it's the over-under for this on ESPN is 38.5.
Good Lord. Yeah, I don't even know who Penn State's quarterback is. So, yeah, I'd bet the under.
Yeah, with Drew Aller being out, he's out for the year.
He's out for the years, and I don't know. Penn State literally has nothing to play for now. They might not win a game for the rest of the year.
Yeah, we talk about us as Iowa State fans not winning a game for the rest of the year. Penn State is looking a whole lot worse because this is their schedule. They got to go at Iowa. Then they got to go at Ohio State. They host number 3 Indiana. They're at Michigan State. Yeah. And then they got to host number 25, Nebraska.
Oh, they ain't winning none. They're going to go 3-9. They're about to go 3-9, bro.
I mean, they do have games at Michigan State, at Rutgers, so but who knows? Nah, they can go. But
at least 5-7, but geez.
The fall of James Franklin has to be studied. I want to write a master. I want this to be written, somebody's master thesis as to how a man can fall. And what's crazy is Penn State is going to be paying James Franklin $50 million to not coach.
That's insane. They have crazy money.
If I could make $50 million just sitting on my couch, sitting right here talking about sports, I would take it in a heartbeat. That would be nice to do. But man, it's pissed me.
if there are any sponsors watching, if you're willing to pay us $50 million, is that carbless?
Yeah. I mean,
Carbless, yeah, Carbless. Not a sponsor, but could be. If you like GMCC, we would love to be a presenting sponsor, presenter of your great product.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to Jake, Bren, Derek Duke, and the rest of the Iowa area guys. They pretty much put me onto this, so yeah. I got to thank those guys for putting me onto Carbless. And it's been great. Like, I don't have to just drink beer all the time whenever I'm drinking. I can just drink this. I feel great. And it doesn't feel, like, too heavy on me, so I can just drink multiple of these and I wouldn't worry too much about, like, feeling terrible.
Well, there you go. Make sure you grab Carbless at your local Iowa grocer. All right. One thing before we end. I have this just in your – we're going to get our last thoughts. But it, for real, Cody, how do you think this team is going to respond?
I think the team, like, they got to, they obviously, we need them to show that they can respond. Because last, after Cincinnati, we thought they would against Colorado. It clearly looks like it's not a 1 week fix. So hopefully, with this bye week and all the preparation for BYU, then they have a little more time to really hone in on these things that they need to fix. So this bye week comes at a perfect time for the team to get refreshed. The first bye week came at a perfect time when we had just traveled so many miles. So I think this is another perfectly placed bye week. So hopefully they use this bye week well to get refocused, refreshed, and come out ready to swing and dominate against BYU and Arizona State at home. Because you know you got homecoming. You're playing BYU for homecoming, so you need to show that you're not going to get embarrassed in your home field, especially in a high stakes game like that.
Yeah, this is the gut check time of the schedule. Like, things may not be as much in front of you as you thought before, but hey, until you are mathematically eliminated, we still have a chance at this thing. So do not lose hope, guys. All right, we are gonna wrap it up today. We're an hour and six minutes in. Man, we had so many people, dude. We had 95 people. 95 people who are watching today. I saw that ticker go, I'm like, 95? But okay. 96 now. So, man, thank you for all you sickos that have tuned in. We've been looking at the numbers. They've been increasing every single week. So that means that we're doing a good job. So congrats to you and me, Cody. So yeah. And then I put it on the wall on my page, but on the feed spot thing, we have moved up to one of the top 10 sports podcasts in the state of Iowa. We are now at number 7. And now we are, and then for top 100 overall listened to podcasts in the state of Iowa, we are now number 33. So just a testament to everyone who has tuned in. We thank you guys for your continued support. But a few things we're gonna do before we end the show. A big thank you to FanDuel. Make sure there are tons of promos right now. We're in the league championship series right now. The matches are set. We have Brewers, Dodgers, and then we have a matchup between the Blue Jays and the Mariners. So it's gonna be great, great, great baseball.
Yeah. Real quick, what's going to be your World Series prediction? Who are you predicting that is going to advance to the World Series? And then who are you picking to win the World Series out of those four?
So I have Dodgers, Blue Jays, and I think the Dodgers win in six.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if it's the Dodgers, Blue Jays, but my heart tells me I'm going to be bold and I'm Brewers, wanting Mariners. To go. Yeah, Brewers, Mariners, and then I'm going Brewers to win the World Series.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Brewers winning the World Series. Nice. Yep. I mean, as a White Sox fan, that would make me happy, but I also don't like the petty stuff that Milwaukee does. But it's whatever. So but yeah, we have that. We have the NFL going on in full swing right now. Hockey just started back up. So if one of their sickos that likes to bet on hockey, bet on that.
Basketball.
Yeah, the NBA, you can bet on college basketball. So there's all of that. The promos are endless on FanDuel. So if you know ball, go and make money with that. Also, find us on social media, 6-4 to social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Twitch. On Twitch, we're at Believe in ISU 2025. Also, find us on Twitter. Converse with us on Twitter. I am at SciTieGuy on Twitter, and Cody is at FoMattCampbell. Any more thoughts before you leave?
Yeah, speaking of my Twitter, yeah, you might have noticed a little bit of a change. I am now going by Tierney Jackson's ankle boot because this is a nod to our volleyball team because they are cooking this year. They only, I believe they are 14-3 on the year. They just suffered a loss to a top 15 Kansas school who is a lot better than their record, even though their record's what, only like 8-6 or 9-6. They've played some really tough team, like really top teams. Think of them playing the equivalent of the top of the Big Ten and SEC in terms of volleyball, with like throwing in the top ACC school in there. So Wisconsin's kind of like the Michigan of college volleyball. Creighton, I would throw in as like the equivalent to Miami. Purdue is right up there too. They're like second tier, maybe Indiana. Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, right now I'm locked in on volleyball, really good. And, I mean, they've got a home match against, I believe, West Virginia this week, so I'm getting out to that on Thursday before I go out to Mugs and get drunk.
All right, so make sure to, if you see Cody and you go to the volleyball match, make sure to meet up with him and say what's up. He will come up and say hi to you. All right, so that we'll wrap it up. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Vanciello.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Go Cyclones!